Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who run a 4-minute 40, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. This is episode 309. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me are two of my very, very good friends and men I am proud to be working with, T.O., Tony Ortiz, and Jeff the Riz Risen. Gentlemen, how are you today?
It's good to have the gang back together here. It's been a couple of weeks.
It has. It's good to see you guys. I missed you guys during the holidays.
I only saw one turkey, not two. No, I'm sorry. No, that's terrible. That's terrible. That's not even. That is such a dad joke. I should be flogged. I should be flogged for that. I'll take care of that later.
Yeah, you should. Yeah.
All right. We got a great show today. We're going to talk about the Lions, Bears, give you a preview. We're going to do a little bit of meta talk about the Lions. A lot's happened since last the gang here was together. We'll talk about that. We're going to look at the injury report a little bit. We'll do a little bit of game predictions, a whole lot more. We got a great show lined up. Boys, are you ready to go?
Let's do it.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, a couple of quick announcements. First, check us out. Help us out on the old Patreon. Very special thanks to Dylan from
Guam.
Whoa.
I've missed that.
Our very first donor, Mathis. Brian B. from I Prevail. That's Brian Burkheiser, for those who don't know. He's pouring gasoline on everything that'll take it. And they all hang out with us. Riz, everybody hangs out with us. Where? In the Slack chat. Now with other sports. New and improved. Yes, head on over to the Slack chat, the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet. And it's not because I'm there. We got a lot of really, really good folks take care of each other and talk about the Lions and some other stuff, but in a very respectful and great way. There's no forum on the internet about the Lions better than this place anywhere. And that's that. You can check out Ash. I quote him often on the show. He just wrote an article on our site today, aptly titled, How Bob Quinn Restored the Lions' Reputation, which is the most excellent tongue-in-cheek reference.
Yeah. He did a good job with it. I read it this afternoon. Ash is a very gifted writer, and it's always fun to get his perspective. It's definitely worth your time checking it out.
Yeah, no, good stuff. He's hanging out in the chat, dropping just brain bombs all the time. Great, great crew of people. You can get in there as well. Head on over to Patreon, patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. As little as $1 a month will get you access. patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Check us out on Twitter. At DET Lions Podcast, DET Lions Podcast. Give us a follow so you can see the Riz.
I don't have any pants on.
Whoa, I'm stunned. Subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or youtube.com/DLP Clips. Also, don't forget to rate us. You know, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, iHeart, Pandora, Amazon. All those different places where you find your podcast. Make sure you give us those 5 stars. We love those 5 stars, and those are forever. Those ratings last forever. You could love us today and hate us tomorrow, or hate us tomorrow and love us today. All those things, but those 5 stars, they mean everything. So head on over, give us 5 stars. If you can't, you know, if you don't, you just say, I'm feeling 4.5 right now. Head on over to the subreddit, let us know why, and we'll work to get you those 5. Thanks, T.O. Give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. Leave us a message, we'll get a chance to hear you on your show. Something like that. Let's do this.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
So talk about fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. And I don't know, I start out tongue twisted. I don't know if it's because it's the end of the work week and it's like literally from work to doing this or what, but I stumble on my words for the first couple minutes, guys. Thanks for doing the fireman's carry on me.
We're here for you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Don't forget, we'll have the post-game show right after the Lions game this week. We're going to do a preview of the Lions and Bears. I want to start out. We normally do a history kind of lesson on the matchup, but we already talked about the Bears and Lions earlier. And I don't know if you guys heard, there was some news since last we spoke about the Lions and the situation, not only at the head coaching position, but also as the GM. Have you guys heard this? Had you heard anything about this?
We might have, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
One or two things.
Well, let's just make it up as we go. No one will be any wiser, okay? I want to just take a little bit here and talk about this team and what to look for the rest of the year. There's, you know, when Coach Caldwell was released, it was after the season. We didn't have any games left. And I'm trying to throw back. When was the last time the Lions released a coach in the mid-season? When? God, it seems
Steve Mariucci.
I believe it was Mooch, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was fired right after the Thanksgiving game in 2005 when they lost to the Falcons. Dick Geron came in as the interim head coach after that.
Yep, I remember that. It's such a tradition in Thanksgiving. sorry, Tone, I should have watched that.
Good timing.
You're drinking there. but we're all drinking at some point or another here. It's something that a lot of people probably haven't experienced before for the Lions, and it's a little bit new. You've seen it happen with other teams, and there's some decisions that have to be made, and we're evaluating Daryl Bevel, and I wouldn't undersell that. It's definitely something to look for. We saw it with also the way the team performs, the players sometimes with that shift. When a coach is released, often there's something else going on. Right, with the locker room and the players and the coach. And we've all heard the stories leading up to the release of Coach Patricia that maybe some of the players weren't happy as well. Let's talk a little bit about that bounce back effect. We saw it in Atlanta earlier this year before we played them, and they had that bounce back for the coach. What do you expect, Tio? Do you think that these guys are going to kind of come out and do that same sort of thing?
I do. I think they're going to get a lift from having Daryl Bevel as the interim head coach. The trouble is they're getting that bounce at the worst possible time because their schedule takes a quantum leap forward as far as being tough. Everybody they play going forward, the Bears, the Vikings, the Titans, the Buccaneers, and the Packers are all in the race for the playoffs. So they're not playing lightweights like Jacksonville, like Atlanta, or Washington. They're playing the cream of the crop, or at least as close to the better teams in the NFL as possible. So as good as it will be to get that bounce, I don't know if there's enough time for that bounce to actually make an impact in the record. The Bears, Riz, is a great example of that. I mean, you kind of hoped it was Nick Foles. All of a sudden, it's Mitch Trubisky, noted Lions killer. He's starting at quarterback on Sunday. That's a bad sign if you look at what he's done in the past against the Lions.
It is, and it's interesting because this is a game. So I did three different Bears podcasts this week. And all of them are like, please, please, please win this game so we can get rid of our coach and our quarterback and our GM because we want them gone too. So that is an interesting dynamic to add into this. The Lions did get that. And I agree. They're going to get a lift from having it gone. This one is more not necessarily like Atlanta's where they had Dan Quinn, who was a guy that they liked, but he was just terrible at his job. And by the way, that's going to happen with Anthony Lynn in Los Angeles with the Chargers very, very soon as well. Great guy. He's just not a good head coach. This one's more like Bill O'Brien, where he got into a fight with J.J. Watt at practice on Monday, and the entire team said, "We're with J.J. Get out of here, chomp." And they did, and they went out and they hung 40 points on the Vikings that weekend.
Yeah. Now, they're not the only ones to hang 40 points on the Vikings, but – They weren't expected to, for sure.
They happen to have Deshaun Watson. And at that point, they had Will Fuller before he got busted, before he started hanging out with Brian Cushing too much. It's God, that's a weird team. but the principle of the balance of the interim coach, and it's weird because that's a fairly recent phenomenon. If you go back in time, in the 1980s, interim coaches went 1-19 in their first games. So it's changed quite a bit over the years.
Now,
I'm a big believer in the lift this week. I think Bevel is going to the biggest thing that he came out and first of all, his press conferences are fun.
Yeah, yes.
He's a guy that's he's going to say what's on his mind and doesn't really have a filter, which is just brilliant after Mr. Filibuster Patricia, who would say he had a lot to say. He had a lot of nothing to say, to quote Tool. He's you get the feeling that he wants to have fun and he wants his players to have fun, that fun component is missing. He's talked about it in every press conference he's given. And I think that's going to work great. Now, the problem with this matchup, and we'll get more into it, is that the personnel is dilapidated.
Yeah.
And that's there's only so much you can do with when your top running back is out, when your top two wide receivers are out, when you know you're dealing with shuffling along the offensive and defensive lines. You know, Danny Shelton's gone. That's something that we got to touch on. Yeah. So this is not the same Lions team that almost beat the Bears in week one, just as it's not the same Bears team that was 5-0 or 5-1 at one point and is now 5-6.
You gave me so much, you guys. First off, I'm going back to noted Lions killer Mitchell Trubisky. I picture him driving a black Dodge Charger. And you know in World War II on the planes when they had the flags planted on them for the guys that died down? I see little Lions stickers down the side of his driver's door, right, for every win.
My dream car, purple Dodge Charger.
There you go.
Nice.
I want one.
Yeah.
Somebody has one at my daughter's volleyball practices, and I'm like, God damn it. Sweet.
the other thing, though, and you talked about this being a relatively recent phenomenon, we had this in our interview with Coach Fonts that we did on the St. Jude show. He talked about coming back, and really probably what won him that coaching position was how the team reacted to him when he took over as the interim. And he talked about they went out there and they won the game, and he was stunned at how hard the guys went out there and played for him. And then it was the next game, and they played. It was a tough one, and I don't remember if he said it was an overtime or not, and I was going to go back and look at some of the details around it, but we lost at the end of the game by a field goal. And he was talking about, you know, what do you say to these guys that played so hard for you and put it out there, and then they just in the last second lost the game, right? He's a brand-new head coach in the pros, right, doing his thing. And just listening to him talk about that was really interesting, but listening to how the locker room reacted to him. And so the next point is how the locker room is, I think, going to react to Daryl Bevel. And you touched on it a little bit about how his press conferences are, how they're so much more fun, and how he says things like he outed his the engagement announcement before the proposal came, right? That was kind of funny. But it's literally exactly the opposite, and you're seeing that a snapback. From what was it? He's saying all the right things about the previous regime, the things that you have to say and that you should say if you're a decent human being, right? You don't want to dance on anyone's grave. But then he is just, his actions are completely 180 degrees. And I saw a quote from Corey Unlin about he can't wait to put his stamp on this defense and how things are going to change. And I'm like, wow, this is interesting. What we've heard about, you know, the players' feelings, what we saw in tweets about of players and former players' feelings about the coaches that are not here. And then the idea of how these coaches are acting and the way that they're showing us how they're acting, which is so much different. This is a real opportunity. I don't want to undersell the opportunity for Daryl Bevel. Now, performance obviously is king here, and I don't want to oversell it as well, but I think folks might be sleeping. If Daryl Bevel's team turns around, especially in this difficult stretch, and goes 500, I feel like he has a shot at that role. I think that against the teams that he's playing with the team that's being fielded for him, he may actually have a shot at that. Whether it's a short-term deal for a year and they want to get a GM in and he wants to hire his guy, those are all different things. But I think that Daryl Bevel could win this job. I don't know that he will, but I think that he could. He's doing all the right things to set himself up.
No, I agree with you, Chris. I think he could win this job if they have a good 5-game stretch here coming up. Here's the other thing, too, and you mentioned Corey Unlin, and Riz, I hope you agree with this. They'll change some things on defense, but it's really hard to change what you've been doing for the last 3.5 months in 1 week.
And a half.
So a lot, and a half. Yes, let's not forget the half. They'll change some things. Some things will look different, but ultimately it'll still be based on what Matt Patricia had defensively the last couple of years. That's a bit of a concern, at least to me, because eventually it's got to change, but not enough time right now to really make wholesale changes with that defense.
No, I think they're going to have to do more things like stop playing man on third and long. That would be a nice start. When it's second and 13 and you isolate a cornerback with average speed on a world-class blazer on the outside and don't get a pass rush, don't try to rush the passer on it. God, there were so many stupid things Patricia did. That was among them. And I hope that I get the chance to ask Sheila someday. Like, it really bugged you seeing Will Fuller being covered in man with no safety help over the top, right? Because I went crazy. My kids will vouch for it. We were watching the game together.
That picture of Sheila with her hands in her face, face in her hands.
Yes.
That, I think, says that you are 100% right. That's exactly what she was thinking, Riz. She was not like, wow, wow.
It's a Pulitzer Prize winning photo from my friend Mike Mulhollander.
Yeah.
It brilliant job capturing that.
Yeah.
Great shot.
Yep. So yeah. I want to hit really quick because we're talking a little bit about Fantasyland here, and I don't want to say Fantasyland, but the Bevel could win the job. It's he's a long shot, right? Let's be honest about that.
I honestly think he's playing to run the offense again under the head coach next year, and that is not that far fetched. I'll take it back to another interim situation that I covered was when Hugh Jackson got fired in Cleveland and they brought in Greg Williams as the interim coach. And Greg was the players played for Greg and he got them. He had a winning record. I believe they went 5-3-1 under Greg or 5-3. And Baker Mayfield set the record for rookie touchdown passes. And it got Freddie Kitchens the job. Ultimately, Greg did interview for the job with the GM who stayed over. That was John Dorsey. Who you don't want in Detroit, by the way, and I wrote that on Lions Wire today. Please check that out. Yes. I don't want to go into it again. I would love John Dorsey as the director of football ops, but he ain't being my GM. No.
That's one thing that we really, really need is a director of football ops.
We do. I was surprised. I wrote that. That article was actually in the can before the firings happened, and I brought it out, and I got a very good reception on it, and I'm glad that people see that a lot of the things that they thought that maybe Rod Wood was supposed to be doing was really something that the director of football ops was supposed to be doing. And we didn't have one because it was Bob Quinn in both roles and he never should have gotten those.
Yep.
And I hope that Rod Wood also read it and said, hey, that was my bad. I shouldn't have given a guy that much power. Right. And then they make those changes. So I am fairly confident in hearing in the distant whispers that that is something that they're going to do,
yep.
which would be great. Greg did not get the job in interviewing with the same GM. He's now the defensive coordinator for the winless Jets and is going to be looking for a job again. And we don't want him in Detroit either, but,
he did a
very good job as an interim coach, but it wasn't going to work as the long-term. And I think that's going to be the status with Bevel too.
Are these the same whispers though, of the people that said that Bob Quinn is safe the day before the Thanksgiving game? I want to know if those are the same people whispering. I know. I think it was ghosts whispering that first thing. I'm not letting that go. I'm not letting that go. Because you were there, Riz, when they were talking about that, and that was like so made up. All right.
That was fun.
Oh, God. So anyway, the Fantasyland question, and I'm going to take it out of the chat here. Is it possible for the Lions to make the playoffs if they have a miracle win the last five games? The answer is yes. It's possible. Okay.
I think the mathematical percentage is 1.8 or something like that.
Yeah, it's.
I'm not possible. Good at math, but that's what I read.
But the reality is, it's probably not plausible. It's not gonna. It's. If it happened, I say hire Daryl Bevel next year. And I'm going to touch on that a little bit. About Daryl Bevel auditioning. My God, we have an auction though. But auditioning for the role of offensive coordinator for next year, which is a really really interesting thing, because that bodes, I think, well for Hank Fraley, who you know we love. But Matthew Stafford loves Daryl Bevel. And that he's the guy that kind of kept Matthew Stafford and Coach Patricia from having a falling out, according to some of the stories that I've heard. It may make sense if your plan is to hold on to Matthew Stafford, and with your draft position this year, your plan probably should be to try to hang on to Matthew Stafford no matter who comes into the building. That may make sense to help you do that and keep him involved and in his head in the game. The last thing the Lions need as a franchise is another guy who wants to retire and walk away, because I'll tell you, I guarantee Kelly is weighing heavily in his ear about what he does when this contract is over or maybe beforehand. This is not solely his decision. And it's the time of year. If you've decided to hang the lights on the outside of your house this time of year, they're not going where you want them.
Oh, God, no.
They're going where you're told they go.
No, your labor. You're not designed, your labor.
That goes for the inside of the house, too. Yes,
personal
experience. Doubly. So anyway, there's that whole piece of that. So it's interesting. So to answer your question, Steve-O, sure, it is possible. I hate the questions that have possible in them because a meteor could fly through my roof and take things out in 3 seconds too. But so that's that. Let's talk about Corey Unlin on defense. Tio, what do you think? Has he been hamstrung a bit by the previous regime? Has he been able to kind of implement his thing or put his stamp on it? Not that he might be able to make wholesale changes now, but has he been prevented from doing what he kind of wants to do or in his style?
I think a little bit. I think this defense has been Matt Patricia's defense from day one. And I think Corey Unlin came in to help him out. I think Corey Unlin came in with some ideas of his own, but ultimately it was going to be Matt Patricia's defense. Now Corey Unlin's got a chance to do some things. One thing I expect him to do based on the time he had in Philadelphia, I think we're going to see a little more blitzing from the Lions. I would like to see them blitz a little bit more. And I think you're going to see some players who didn't get a whole lot of playing time, maybe getting a little more playing time under Corey Unlin's defense. So I think those are a couple of things you're going to see right away. But again, it's going to be hard to change things in a week and a half to kind of get to where Corey Unlin exactly wants to have this defense. It's going to take a little while. It might not be until the end of December, the final couple of games, before we see what a Corey Unlin defense with him pulling the strings actually looks like.
So, I agree with that. And we are going to see more of Jeff Okuda simply out of necessity because Desmond Trufant is now also on injured reserve. So you're going to see the kids play more. I'm curious if guys like Miles Killebrew, Jalen Reese-Maben, guys who have a little bit more speed, get into the game. If we see more of Jared Davis playing in lieu of Jelani Tavai, which is interesting because last year we sort of wanted the opposite of that.
Right.
And this year, Jared Davis has, in a limited role, has played fairly well. Now he's a guy, if you're going to have a spy on Mitchell Trubisky, I think you want Jared Davis instead of Jelani Tavai. I mean, the foot speed and the ability to move around obstacles is so much greater there. I wonder if he's going to be able to tinker to that because one of the things that was noticeable, and this came out in a lot of the national looks at Patricia being fired, was how passive they were and how they tried to let they didn't necessarily try to win games. They just tried not to lose on defense.
Right. Yeah.
And Unlin comes from Jim Schwartz, who we know very well as a guy. He's not only trying to win, he's trying to kill you. And that element's really been missing. And I think the players will appreciate that. At the same time, they are so dilapidated without Shelton, without all these guys that are hurt. There's only so much you can do, but I expect them to be more aggressive, and I think that will make a positive difference, especially against a Bears team that doesn't scare anybody throwing the football.
Right. By the way,
please tell Corey Unlin not to walk up to Allen Robinson and say, you know, Allen, I used to coach Megatron. You're not as good as he is. You're on your way, but you're not as good as he is.
This generation cannot take a compliment. That is going to be my 10th cent this week at Real GM. The perceived slight of a compliment. Come on.
It wasn't a slight.
He's just giving himself material to get. He's getting himself something to be mad about and something a chip to work with.
I don't get that. I don't either. Maybe we're of the generation where that doesn't play, but I just don't. Stop manufacturing drama.
Everything is manufactured anymore, Riz. Let's be honest. Everything is manufactured out there. All right. Let's see. We
guy shaking a cloud.
shaking hand at the sky. Okay, good stuff. Bevel and everybody out there is trying for a job, right? Everybody is auditioning now and going to do their best. I'm interested to see what Davis does. I'm interested what happens with Steve, or with Speed. Sorry, still tongue-tied. With Speed at the linebacker position. I want to talk a little bit about what Bob Quinn did to this team, though, right? We went over the drafts. And again, I want to refer to you, and it isn't just because it's our site. Ash is I love his mind and the way he looks at things. DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Head on over there, and there's the story and that Ash wrote. It came out today around 12:30, how Bob Quinn restored the Lions' reputation. check out exactly how he starts with the offensive line, because that's really arguably the best position group on the team, and what happened. And you'll find the story is, it's a series of downgrades at position a little bit to save just a little bit of money. But nowhere on this team are we better today than we were when we let Jim Caldwell go as far as talent. Now think about that. Think about through each position group. And Ash didn't say this, but I mean, I think that was it should have been maybe the last sentence. We're not better at a single position group today than we were when Jim Caldwell left.
That's true. If everybody is healthy and playing their best, they're close at a couple of spots.
Running back.
Yeah, running back. I think tight end is probably there.
Yep.
Yeah. But
Jesse James.
Better? No, they're not better. No.
And yeah, and the guys who we let go, Logan Thomas, the guys we've let go who are playing, and then what did we spend on Jesse James? Right? For what? For five catches in 2 years? I mean, I'm underselling it, right? But what it feels like five catches. And I'm not underselling by a whole lot. It's incredible. Vitae is another great example. And to use Ash's words, a guy who couldn't win a starting position on merit, we spent a ton of money on for a position that we've basically downgraded from guys who could play before, right?
The Darius Slay decision is another one that I think sunk Bob Quinn. To sink the money he did in the Desmond Trufant, and then to go ahead. And I like Jeff Okuda, but they drafted Jeff Okuda at a time where they really needed more help along the defensive line. Derek Brown would have been a good fit. Yeah. But the whole situation there, and not even trying to ease the situation between Darius Slay and Matt Patricia, a guy that I think the Lions secondary desperately needed.
If you knew that Darius Slay was not going to be on the team in 2020, back then, you should have gotten rid of him before 2019 started. Agreed. They had offers. I know they had offers that were better than what they took in the end.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's not good. That doesn't reflect well on Mr. Quinn.
Yep. Now I will say, whoever does wind up coaching this team and GMing this team can thank Bob Quinn. Well, and this is if this pans, for the cornerbacks, because good cornerbacks don't come on the market. Great cornerbacks don't come on the market. Jeff Okuda could become a great cornerback in time. Good. He's got all the tools, the athleticism to make that happen. He's getting a heck of an education this year based on who he's playing, maybe not from the coaches he's worked with so far, but he's getting a heck of an education this year. He could turn out to be a real nice piece of this defense, and to have Oruwariye and Jeff Okuda as two corners, lockdown corners, on for the long term, that feels like a good deal. So it depends on the development of Okuda. Okuda was not a this year move, though. It was a dumb move for a guy who was told they were supposed to be playing meaningful games in December, because he didn't get somebody who could make that impact immediately. Nobody thinks a cornerback can make an immediate impact in the NFL. Nobody does. And that was just, I don't know, the arrogance, the hubris. I don't know if it's narcissism. I'm not going to go and do a psychological profile here, but it's all the wrong things. I'll tell you that.
The concept that Ash hit at is that you're digging a hole to fill it.
Yep.
You're not adding on anything. You're just filling holes that you have purposely dug yourself.
Yep.
That's a terrible way to build a football team. And that's why the Lions are where they are right now.
Yep.
Oh, by the way, the Philadelphia Eagles are the same. They're just a little bit more celebrated, and they happen to have the worst quarterback in the league. So that's not helping them either.
Yeah. Is he going to get a statue outside?
Can I tell you a quick stat on him?
Yeah,
the
sure.
Last quarterback through 11 games who led the NFL in interceptions thrown, fumbles, and sacks, and Wentz leads all the league in all those right now, was Paul McDonald of the 1984 Cleveland Browns. He never got another job again.
Oh, gosh.
That's where they are with Carson Wentz right now. And, oh, by the way, they drafted Jalen Hurts in the second round and won't play him.
Yeah.
There's going to be a couple more GM and head coaching openings, and Philadelphia's going to be one of them.
So let me ask you. Go ahead.
And Riz, I'm glad Riz brought that up, because in a year the Lions are doing this, there's going to be quite a few openings too. The Lions are going to have a lot of competition for GMs and their head coach choices, because they're going to be, the Chargers are possibly going to let their guys go. The Bears, we already know the Jaguars and Jets, that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles, I mean, there could be as many as six or seven coaching openings by the end of all this. And there's always that one team that surprises people where they let somebody go. Try figuring out the surprise this year, because you could go three or four different ways.
I'll tell you who it is. Cincinnati. Zach Taylor is very much on the hot seat down there. And who would not want to work with Joe Burrow?
Exactly.
No, it's a tough go right now. It's a tough go. Because, and this is where I want to kind of go really quick, is about the characteristics. I don't want to talk about names, okay, for people. But each, you know, you think about what you want in a GM and where your team is. Do you want somebody that's young that can take you to the next level? What are some of the characteristics that you're looking for a GM and a head coach? Tony, I'm going to go to you first.
I want a guy who's got experience rebuilding teams. I want a Rick Smith type who rebuilt the Houston Texans into a team that turned out to be, for a while until the Bill O'Brien thing, a very good team. So I want a guy either as director of football operations or GM that has a history of building teams, even from the bare minimum, from scratch. He's got to be that guy. So that's the one thing I'm looking for immediately in a GM.
Riz, how about you?
I'm with you. I don't want an inexperienced front office.
No.
As a whole. Now, it could be a combination of, let's say, one of the Colts guys or one of the Chiefs guys that are the hot names. But they would need somebody to come in who has already done, who has been a GM before. I like the idea of Rick Smith quite a bit. I know him from his days in Houston. I would be totally on board with Rick taking the job. And the fact that he lost a pissing contest with Bill O'Brien in my book is a positive for him. And that is absolutely. So he left because his wife got breast cancer. Mm-hmm. It was very poor timing of it, but they were coming to a head anyways, and that gave him a bit of an easy out for all parties, so they didn't have to get bloody. But he's an opinionated guy too, and he is the guy who is responsible for a lot of the big fines that happened in Houston. J.J. Watt, Arian Foster coming out of the ether, rebuilding an offensive line down there that had nothing. He did a lot of great work there. So he's the kind of guy. I don't want somebody learning how to be a GM right on the job without somebody there who's been in it before. We just did that. We did that with Matt Millen. We yep. did it with Martin Mayhew to some extent. There are guys like Jimmy Ray III is still on the staff. Kyle O'Brien is still on the staff. I don't think they need to stay personally. I would like to see them leave. I think we just need that turnover to get fresh blood in here. Mm-hmm. If you're bringing in another guy who hasn't done it before, you've got to get somebody in there as a lieutenant who's right there. That's the role that John Dorsey is perfect for. If you're hiring a guy like Alonzo Highsmith or Elliot Wolf, though I don't think either of those guys are going to be serious candidates for various reasons, there's you can't have somebody making we talked about it in the emergency podcast, Chris, the concept that somebody has, that you're getting somebody who's failed somewhere else. Well, yes, they've made the mistakes that caused them to fail already. Instead of learning what those mistakes are in Detroit already, we need to stop doing that.
And Chris, along those same lines, when you're talking about a head coach, I want a guy, and this is going to blow one very popular candidate right out the water. I want a head coach with some experience. I want a head coach who has been a head coach before in the NFL, who has experience dealing with players at that level. And I know everybody's hot on Robert Saleh, but I'm not exactly sure that's the right answer yet for this team. I think they need an experienced hand. They need, I hate to say it this way, they need someone like a Jim Caldwell type who has been a head coach before, who has dealt with players in the locker room, and who can calm the waters after Matt Patricia.
Yeah, especially if they go with an inexperienced GM, you've got to have an experienced head coach.
Yep.
I'm with you on that. I've been trumpeting Marvin Lewis. Brian Billick is my dream job. He apparently he was made aware that I have an infatuation with him. He hasn't. I heard that from a mutual friend.
Unrequited.
Yes. Restraining order.
If he was better looking, he'd be Brady Quinn too.
Unrequited is another word for restraining order. Oh, that's funny.
You know, I love the concept of somebody who's been there before and been in a locker room before. It's not to go to Saleh for a second. I think his leadership ability and the way that the players have responded to him with guys like Richard Sherman coming out, I think he'd be able to handle it if you give him experienced coordinators. And I think that would be a key for that.
You know,
that is not a panacea though, because they tried that in Cleveland with Freddie Kitchens. They got him an experienced head coach as an offensive coordinator, an experienced head coach as a defensive coordinator, and they all sucked together. You got to be careful. You got to make sure that it's going to work. One of the guys that I'm very interested in is Matt Campbell from Iowa State, who has experience taking a place with low expectations and raising them. He's done it at Toledo. He's done it at Iowa State. He has a program. He has a system similar to the way Matt Rhule is at Carolina right now. Carolina doesn't have the horses this year. I think he's doing a fantastic job as their head coach, and I think most people down there are pretty happy with their hiring. So if you get a guy like that from the college ranks that has previous successful head coaching experience, specifically at places where you don't typically taste success, I think that's a plus too. I'd be perfectly fine with a guy like Matt Campbell in that role.
You've heard me. I've said it a million times. I am all about who are the coordinators, and I don't want to undersell the importance of the coach, but exactly what you said, Tony, we need an experienced coach, a guiding hand, a guy who can calm the waters and get the players to the right place, to get the players to want to play for him, the players to want to show up, give their all, but and that's fine. And Jim Caldwell was I think a spectacular head coach in that regard. But again, I always point to Ron Prince and the fact that they went down together as the reason why he was a failing head coach. He needs the coordinators. He needs top shelf coordinators. I'd rather have a head coach that is a psych major than an X's and O's guy, and great coordinators to run the football side of the ball, the game. That's my ideal situation, the characteristics that I look for. I kind of look that way myself, but I don't.
We'll use the Titans as an example. Arthur Smith is their offensive coordinator. He was not known for that when Mike Vrabel hired him, but he's going to get a head coaching job this offseason. I'd bet good money on that. Mm-hmm. So you can find them, but again, you've got to have that you've got to have somebody that the players are going to respond to. And that was sort of the opposite of what Matt Patricia has done. I'll look in Cleveland where the Browns have Kevin Stefanski, a guy that they bought into very quickly.
Yes, they did.
And he's not a screamer. He is not a demonstrative guy. He's a very measured guy. That turned out to be exactly what that locker room needed. I'm not sure that would play all that well in Detroit, but just finding somebody who can win the room right away and get guys who want to play for him and want to, you know, let's go, man. And I think Sala would bring that.
I think there's
some other candidates that would bring that as well. But if you've got that, you've got to have an experienced GM, and you've got to get him coordinators. Like, one of the big things that we see this all the time, Tony, you know this from experience, from being in the locker rooms. The rookie head coaches have so much to learn that they've never done before. Yep. All the meetings they've got to be in. Oh, I've got media responsibilities today. Oh, I got a guy in the practice squad hurt and I got to go replace him. What do I want to do with that? I got to come up with a game plan. I got to watch film. I have to watch film of both sides of the football here. Mm-hmm. Those were things that Patricia struggled with. Those are things that a lot of guys who wound up being good coaches struggle with.
But
I don't want those training wheels in Detroit.
And
I'm tired of that.
And that's why Wade Phillips did Sean McVay so many favors.
Yes.
I'm telling you, that's I think there's something to that. That's, anyway, we talked about characteristics. I think there's something to that combination. Will we be able to will that work again? Will we be able to match that? I don't know. But I feel strongly that that's the kind of characteristics that we really, really need, is those kind of coordinators that can carry a coach so that no matter how inexperienced or experienced he is, he can head coach. I don't want him running the defense. I don't want him in the X's and O's of the defense all the time. I want him to be able to elevate and understand that his coordinators are going to do their job at a level that a head coach would expect. And guys with that kind of experience that were coaches tend to be able to do that unless they're in Cleveland.
Notice that none of us mentioned anything about tactics or scheme.
Right.
And if you go out and you read the fantastic interview that Chris Burke did with Amy Trask of the Raiders.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Scheme was like 11th on her list of things that she wants from her head coach. And that's I heard a podcast with Mike Lombardi, a former GM, who's a putz, by the way, but he was a GM and has experience at it. And he's like, I don't care about the scheme. I want guys who can lead. And that is where the league is going. You're getting away from the guys who are schematic wonder kids. They got one of those in Chicago they don't like anymore.
Yep.
They got one of those in Arizona who's wearing on thin ice. It's important, but the ability to adapt yourself to multiple situations. I use multiple. Sorry, we're banning that word from the Lions lexicon.
go back and
the ability to tailor your scheme to what players you have and what you're facing against is far more important than having a scheme of your own.
Yeah.
And Chris, sadly, we have seen that too many times with the Lions, where the head coaches come in, Steve Mariucci, Rod Marinelli, two great examples. They had a system. They knew what they wanted to run. And
we're playing Tampa 2, baby.
Exactly.
Trust
and
the
they
process.
Didn't adjust, and they didn't adjust to the players they had. Mariucci was bound and determined to run the West Coast offense. Rod Marinelli was bound and determined to wear the Tampa or to run the Tampa 2. You got to be able to adjust the players. Riz is making me laugh here. I'm sorry. You got to be able to adjust to the players that you have, adjust your scheme. And I'm sorry, Matt Patricia did not do a great job of adjusting to the players he had. He wanted to run the scheme that was successful for him in New England, and it just didn't work out here.
If they would have trusted the process and gotten their pad level right, I think it could have worked out.
From that standpoint, maybe.
From the Trask interview, there's something else I want to talk about. And there talks about the view being different from the majority about having your guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not hiring the best guy or gal.
Right.
So why not get your coach and look for the GM after? Why does it have to be? If that person is that good, and there was a great example of Mike Tomlin doing that, why, get the right guy. Don't worry about being your guy because, let's see, where it is. When you're good, when you get someone good in place, it's just absurd. So don't worry about getting his guy. Just get the right guy. That was the part, and that was put up in the Slack again. But I saw that and went back and reread the interview, and it hit me more the second time after seeing it like that. So important. Get the right people. You talk about kids have to play well together and work well together. Why can't we sell adults to do the same thing? We're putting the right best people in there, and now we've got really good people who are really smart. They just have to work together to find success, and that's that. So, all right, let's move on. It was a great conversation, but we could do this all day. I know we were at Miller's for, 14 hours?
For lunch. Yes.
It was great. I loved it, but people might get bored listening to us. Let's talk about the injury report. I've got it in front of me if either guys want me to kick some out with it.
Go ahead and lay on the bad news.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Kenny Golladay, Deshaun Hand, and Jeff Okuda all out. That's gonna really not help Daryl Bevel at all.
No Okuda and no Desmond Trufant, who's on IR.
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Hey.
Now the good news is you got Austin Bryant, who is only questionable on the injured reserve, so we could see him one of the 13 times he's played football in any game in the last 16 years.
I'm not
going to
lie. I confuse Austin Bryant and Hunter Bryant all the time. Yes. Because they're both off-injured guys who play on the edge of the offense.
Yeah.
On one side of the ball or the other.
Yeah.
I don't know which one's which, but I know I'll be pleasantly surprised if either of them ever plays.
Yeah, he spent more time on the injury IR than he has in practice. Stafford's questionable. Right thumb.
He'll play.
Yeah, yeah. Swift is also questionable. This is one he was off. And this is an interesting story. He was out with the concussion. He's back, but then he misses for an illness that isn't COVID. And who was it, Riz, that had an illness that wasn't COVID that was COVID 2 days later?
That was Myles Garrett and also Jeff Driscoll.
So we'll see how this one plays out. I want to see more Swift. I really, really want to see more Swift on the field. And if he plays, he's in the game. This is something to watch for, I think, with Daryl Bevel now pulling the reins on this without Matt Patricia kind of staring over him. Will we see DeAndre Swift?
God, I really like the idea of Swift having a redemption game after the week one where he dropped the touchdown pass. And, oh, by the way, if he doesn't drop that, the Lions, even where we are now, are still ahead of the Bears then.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
And Tracy Walker is questionable. Sorry, go ahead.
Unfortunately, I don't think DeAndre Swift's going to play. I think he hasn't had enough practice time, and I just think I don't know what the illness is, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Lions took one more week with him and let him get a little better and went with Adrian Peterson and went with Kerryon Johnson as their running backs against the Bears. But that, again, gut feeling, inside information or anything, but I just think they'll give him one more week, my opinion, to get better.
He hasn't practiced in 2 weeks. That's
correct.
That's tough. I mean, and with the concussion, they're limiting your physical ability, so you're not allowed to go out there and run. You're required to not stress yourself in order to get over it. So that means he's not going to be in prime shape either. And not practicing then because of illness, I don't know about you guys, but when I get sick, I don't run.
No.
I got a sticker on the back of my car that says 0.0 and in small letters underneath, I don't run. So no, but it's more than where he's at. All right, let's talk a little bit about the matchups. Tio, what are some of the key matchups to watch for this game?
You know what? I'm going to surprise you with this matchup. It's my matchup I'm watching is Matt Nagy against his team. He came out and blasted. He blasted the Bears this week, earlier this week.
Yeah, he did.
He came out and said, you know, look, he wanted to see pride. He didn't see it. He just hammered his players and hammered his coaching staff. I'm going to be very curious to see how they responded to that. Do they come out with fire in their eyes? Do they come out and want to prove him wrong? Or do they say, you know what? This guy's going to be gone in 5 weeks anyway, and roll over. So to me, the matchup is Matt Nagy versus his own team. If they come out with some fire, they're going to beat the Lions on Sunday in Chicago.
Was that a TJ Watt moment? Because that's exactly what I thought of when I heard that he had said that. If I was a player, especially if you're looking to put a chip on your shoulder because someone told you you're not quite Calvin Johnson, so, I'm telling you, you got 53 guys plus a practice squad ready to chase you out of that building, Riz.
Yeah.
You're the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked. Rebecca Simpson's on y'all. He kind of did that. And Tio, your point is that, you know, they know that he's not going to be back next year.
Yep.
Why should I listen to that? Exactly. That's why you fire your coach in the middle of the season. Yeah, that's a good one, man. That I like how you took it to a different level there. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It dwarfs my Allen Robinson versus Amani Oruwariye matchup. And the flip side of that is, can Mitchell Trubisky throw the ball to him, to either of them?
You better line up on the right side.
I'm not sure that he can. this is also a week. The Bears' offensive line has fallen some. They're not terrible, but they're not good. This would be a week that if Corey Unlin is going to dial up some blitzes, send Jared Davis up the A gap, and you know, there's chances for this defense to have a lot of success against Trubisky and against that offensive line. So I'm very curious how Unlin attacks their offense is more of the matchup there.
I'm going to say that this is an ugly prom date kind of a game is the matchup here. This is going to be a terrible game. This is going to be an absolutely horrific football game to watch. And
hold on, I was somebody's ugly prom date.
I know you were, but you weren't the ugliest. And that's it's the battle of the butt uglies here. Who is going to be less ugly than the other one? I think that's what this game is going to turn into. And I think that's the battle. Who is going to play less ugly than the other team? Because it's just an absolute S show for both teams right now. And I can't even, right? I can't imagine being in either locker room and looking over across the field and saying, oh, we're going to, it's the same, right? It's like the office meme again. Tell me the difference. The corporate wants to know the difference between the two pictures. It's the same picture, right? They're the same. It's horrible. So it's a battle of the uglies, a bad prom date kind of a game here. All right. Keys to the game. Tio, let's go with you first again. And what's the key to the game for the Lions? Take this one home and put one in Bevel's hat. Uh-oh. Did everybody freeze? Everybody froze.
Which is really banged up. No Jeff Okuda, no Desmond Trufant. So to me, that's the key to the game for me. If the Bears can get anything generated in their passing game, they've got a good enough running attack to keep the Lions off balance. And again, if they get their passing game going, Mitch Trubisky is going to have an outstanding day again against the Lions. And I really hate saying that last sentence because Mitch Trubisky is a below average quarterback until he faces the Lions.
Oh my goodness. You sting me, Tony.
He's got 14 touchdown passes in his career against the Lions against 4 interceptions. He's not even close in touchdown passes to anybody else. No other team comes. I think he's got 7 against the Vikings. He's 14 like, against the Lions.
He's
that's
a first
ridiculous.
Ballot Hall of Famer against the Lions.
The Lions, yes.
It's crazy.
Oh man. Riz, where's your head at?
So in the first matchup, Khalil Mack went up against Tyrell Crosby almost exclusively and did not get a sack.
Right.
I am looking for the moral victory that would be Tyrell Crosby shutting out Khalil Mack twice. I think that would be really, really cool. As far as winning the game, Matt Prater needs to make his field goals. Jack Fox needs to be on point with his punting, and I expect no less. The return cover teams have to be very, very sharp because Chicago special teams, as they typically are awesome.
Yes,
and that's how a return in this game could be critical, because I don't think either offense is going to score a lot of points. So if you're able to, you know, flip the field and pin them deep, or alternately, if they allow a return, that could swing the game right there. And that's, you know, special teams are even more important when you've got two bad teams going against one another. And that's what we've got here.
Yeah.
And Chris, I'm going to bring up something strange here. I think not having fans Sunday is going to help the Bears, because if they had a stadium full of fans at Soldier Field with the way this team is playing right now, it would be ugly. Early.
Ready to boo.
Well,
I think it actually helps that the Bears don't have fans at Soldier Field for Sunday's game.
The Lions better get used to not having fans unless they turn the shit around pretty quick. absolutely. I'm going to tell you, keys to the game is for the fans. Because this game is going to be such a mess, cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. You're going to need a little something to help yourself out, take away the anxiety, the pain, and the sleepless nights that the Lions bring to you. I can't believe we got this sponsor. This is the perfect year to sign these guys. It is like absolutely anxiety, pain, sleepless nights, Lions, the whole thing. How do you fix it? CBD. Head on over to cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. You've got the creams, which I tell you, I just put on my knee, hanging those dang Christmas lights. I rack my knee up on the ladder, and I'm feeling good there. Got that. I know that works. They got the gummies. Those things are great. And they got the oils if you just want to get the little tincture under your tongue and take care of the things. You'll get yourself one of the best night's sleep. That stage four sleep comes, and it stays. It is a rockin' best sleep I've ever had. The gummies are great as well for just kind of the full body thing, and the cream is for more like point relief. So I'll tell you, the cream isn't about the sleep, it's about the muscles and the arthritis. That's where that stuff's good for you. I brought a jar of it when I visited my mom, and she kept it, so there you go. cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. they give us a little kickback, just so you guys know when you go there, but it's great stuff. Use the coupon code Lions, you get 55% off. They've got different sales going on all the time, so if the sale is more than that coupon code by some fortuitous whatever. I started waxing poetic, and then I ran out of words. It was a haiku. It was short. if they find something, you'll get the higher discount. So cbd.detroitlionspodcast.com. Check them out and take care of yourself. All right. And it is, again, I think this is going to be a tough game to watch. I know I told people for the Thanksgiving game, it's one of those ones, don't invest yourself in it. You've already got the stress of family around. You've got all the things going on. You got a turkey. You got to get right. You got all the things. Just put it on in the background. Enjoy. Let it do its thing. If they won, it was like, you know, enjoy it, whatever. This is one to watch, but just don't expect that kind of football that's inspirational. Let's face it, with everything going on with the plague in the NFL right now and Wednesday Night Football and everything else, there's not a lot of inspirational football going on.
we get a Tuesday night game featuring Washington. Yeah.
I'm telling you, the Super Bowl is going to be Florida man against a gator, wrestling a gator at the 50-yard line. That's what's going to be left. All right.
Just don't wrestle a tiger in Florida. Those hurt, apparently.
Carol, what's her, Carol Baskin. My
Carol Baskin.
My friend who moved down here, her property actually backs up to Carol Baskin's property. So there's some. I'll have to tell some stories sometime. All right, let's move to Vegas. It's safer there, unless your name is Roy. Right, that was the one that got bit.
That was another tiger-related death.
See, the same
maiming. He didn't actually die. He just got maimed.
It keeps flowing. All right, where's Vegas on this?
We're way the hell off the rails now.
A hell of a segue, Chris. Good job, man.
We got the Lions +3 on the line, the money line. Bears -160. The Lions +140, and over under is 45. And let's play the over under here. What do you think, Tony? You know, they tried to peg that one pretty close, and I don't think they did a bad job on that one.
I don't think so either, because that's a tough one. I'll go under, but just slightly. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of points scored, but 45, that's a low number for the NFL this year. So I'll go under, but just slightly.
Yeah. Riz?
I'm with you. I don't see either of these offenses scoring more than two touchdowns, and you've got to get that from a lot of guys there. That's 28. So,
Well, there is one defense out there. We'll talk about that. We'll get there when we get to the predictions, which I'm an underdog as well. So we'll roll with the three unders on this one. Final outcome, we got a prediction. Before we get that, don't forget, it's that time of year where we're getting gifts for everybody. I wound up packing all these in at the end. I'm sorry, guys. Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com, Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Head on over there. They, as I said before, they give us a kickback when you buy stuff, but nothing ever costs more. Take that money away from Bezos and give it to us. And maybe one day we can buy the Lions and make this team better, because you know we would. Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com for all of your holiday needs. All right, final outcome prediction. Tony, you've got it. You've been pressing it. You're like undefeated this year with your predictions.
Oh, no, Carolina no, game. No. I got, and, yeah.
And the Bears
New Orleans game.
And yeah. The New Orleans game. Yeah. And the...
nah. I'm Kreskin, I am definitely not on this one. You know what? Yeah, I know. I'm old.
This has been a fun game. This has been a fun show. We pulled some references here.
I used
here
to watch Kreskin. I know who that is.
Yeah, thank you. Most people are like, what the hell is a Kreskin?
I'm Sir Graves Gasly, just to make keep it in Detroit. Just keep it in Detroit.
I used to love Sir Graves Gasly.
Yeah, he was awesome. He was the best.
Oh, yeah. That was a great laugh. You know what? I'm going to go with the more desperate team in this situation. To me, the Bears are a little more desperate right now than the Lions. Mm-hmm. So I will go 23-17 Bears over the Lions. I just have a feeling that there's a little more desperation there. The Lions are playing fast and loose, basically with house money. The Bears know if they win this game, they're right back in the playoff race in the NFC. So I think they're a little more desperate. The Matt Nagy situation is really tenuous at this point. I think the Bears have enough juice where they win on Sunday, 23-17 over the Lions.
All right. Riz, where you at, buddy?
I am going to ride the interim coach Spike Magic. I think the team is relieved to be out of the yoke of Matt Patricia. They're going to go out and they're going to show that, hey, this guy was holding us back. He's the reason why we suck. Now, it's going to be tough because a lot of the players that they need on the field are not going to be there.
Right.
That's going to limit things, but I've got the Lions winning 20-17, and enjoy it because I think it's probably the last time they'll win.
That's interesting. I am also on the Coach Spike bandwagon, and I'll tell you, it is the Nagy situation that puts me there. It's the combination of bouncing back from Patricia and that sense of the players wanting to say thank you to ownership for clearing house in the front office and in the coach, and I think they're very, very motivated to do that. I think also the Bears are just as motivated to get rid of their coach and GM. I think they don't want to win for Nagy. They don't want him there next year, and winning gets him there. So I think there's a lot of folks, not only fans in Chicago, but maybe some players that want to see the Detroit game be the end of Matt Nagy's reign in Chicago. So I'm going to go 21-17, still in the under, but probably a lot more points than will be scored. But I just got a sense that that defense on the Bears side is going to loosen up a little bit for this team and let fate take over.
One thing, I looked up the weather, not going to be a factor. It's going to be 30 degrees, but there's no wind and no rain or snow. So
And
just a flat, cold day.
With the opportunity for the Lions to win out and go to the playoffs, this is the last cold weather game that they have. Everything else is either in a warm place or inside. Yeah. So this is it. Our playoff run begins today or tomorrow, folks, or Sunday. It began. It never
it's
did.
Friday.
I can't even make it up. All right. Thank you guys very much. It was great to be back with you. It was a lot of fun again. Remember, folks, the show needs your involvement. We look for that all the time. Use the comments in the subreddit to give us your feedback. DetroitLions.reddit.com. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon. Patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast. $1 a month gets you access to the coolest people in the internet world, in the internet universe, no matter what. Patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast. Get your donation going there. And check us out on Facebook, Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. Instagram, Detroit Lions Podcast. And on Twitter, at DET Lions Podcast. DET Lions Podcast. The very best place to see the Riz.
With no bands.
Can I just, I have a sidebar before I keep going. I am stoked for the Senior Bowl this year. I really, really am. New coach, new GM, looking at players different. I think this is really going to be, it's always fun, right, Riz? But I think this is going to be a really, really interesting year. And just for me, third year going, I think this is going to be the where the magic really begins and really hits. I can't wait. I'm so excited. Did you get your reservation yet?
7 weeks away.
I know.
Yeah.
Did you get your reservation yet?
I am not going this year.
Oh.
Can't make it. Okay. The my kids' sporting careers take priority.
Yeah.
If I left, I'd have to come back. I would have to quarantine for 14 days, whether I was positive or not. Can't do that with my son playing some high school basketball, my daughter playing very, very high level AAU volleyball and basketball at the same time. I just can't do it. So I'm home this year.
You can always make more kids and experience later.
My wife would kill me.
Oh, your wife's got to be involved?
He's
now in so much trouble if she's listening.
That might be the best suggestion I've heard all week. Thank you, Chris. Just make more kids. Oh, okay. Sure, why not?
Whatever, you know. I mean, the internet goes down. You can't go out anyway. What else are you going to do with your time? Give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, or call us at the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667, and be sure to come to DetroitLionsPodcast.com if your internet's up, and subscribe to the podcast so we can come in your ears automatically. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs.
Tony's lost it. I love it.
No problems because of your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
I almost made a dirty joke. Oh, when you said we come in your ears, I was going to say, oh, it's hard to make a baby that way. And I just kind of stopped. I was like, nope, not going to do that. Nope.
Final seconds winding down. And look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This show is over.